Welcome to Green Talks, a show run by Green Hub, the sustainability office of the University of Twente. I'm your co-host Clizia.
And I'm Fran. Join us as we delve into the topics of sustainability, circularity and the energy transition with guest experts leading the way to a greener future.
That's right. So sit back, relax and enjoy a new episode of Green Talks. I can't wait to listen to this interview. If I'm not mistaken, you recorded it during the closing event of Sustainability Week.
Yep, I went to the closing event of Sustainability Week and interviewed not one, but two guests.
Damn. And for those who don't know what Sustainability Week is a full week of events organized by Green Hub. It happened in November. And during this week, we try to raise awareness about sustainability and to educate students about it with lectures, workshops and other interactive events. But going back to the interview, that's what we're here for. Do you want to tell me about the speakers a little bit?
Yes, of course. So I interviewed, as I said, two guests. Dirk Groot, known better as the Sverfinator, and Elisa Pauls. I hope I'm getting those names correctly, by the way.
Apologies if not.
Dirk Groot, the Sverfinator, it's a combination of Sverf, which is trash in Dutch, and Terminator. He is a data scientist that at some point started picking up trash from the streets, taking pictures of it, and then mapping them in his data scientist kind of way on maps and collecting databases. And then he would use those to spread awareness about trash that gets onto the
streets. That's really smart and effective as well, I guess.
Exactly. And then he used those maps to show them to policymakers, and he sort of created a movement behind himself. And he really made actual change. And not just with policymakers, but he also made Napoleon candy. He made him switch from plastic to paper wrapping because he was finding their wrapping everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he switched. Okay. So that was a very inspiring story of how somebody can
like
turn...
Like an individual can actually make a big impact.
Exactly. It's as if that's the topic of the episode.
What?
In a similar manner.
Yeah.
Elisa Pauls. Started Zero Waste Netherlands. So she committed to a zero waste lifestyle and has been doing it for a while when she realized that the consumerist mindset and the culture that she lives in means that as much as she tries...
Yeah, so zero waste means that she's producing no waste or as little as possible, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. But as much as she tries, there's limits to it because she's in this culture. So sort of pretending to more people to be more people than she is in the beginning, she made a website for it and started this movement of Zero Waste Netherlands, and now it has grown to have many members.
So people actually arrived after a while.
Exactly. So we're going to talk to them to see how they did it, what they think about it, do they consider themselves activists, and what tips they have for people who want to start with them as individuals, but as we said, stop looking at yourself as one.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I really look forward to listening to that. And I guess that all our listeners will as well, since it's something you can relate. And are these stories related to any SDGs?
So not really. This is one of the episodes that isn't directly related to one SDG, but it is more about the approach. So you can apply this method for any SDG you would like.
Yeah.
So if you're ready...
We can jump into the interview.
Without further ado, here is the interview from the ending event of Sustainability Week with Dirk Groot, the Sverfinator, and Elisa Pauls.
Enjoy.
Welcome to the show. Here with me are Dirk Groot and Elisa Pauls, both environmentalists, environmental activists, working in the sphere of personal importance and impact and creating communities. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is there anything you would like to say about yourself?
Well, I'm the initiator of Zero Waste Netherlands, and I heard you introduce us as activist, which is kind of like a heavy word, especially nowadays. And I think environmentalist is something like a title that I feel comfortable with, but activist, maybe with a smile.
Okay.
So I think there's different ways to be an activist, and I think everyone can choose their own way to do it. Yeah, so it's sometimes I use the word and sometimes not. Don't know how it is for you.
And for you, Dirk?
Okay, well, I'm Dirk Groot. People know me as the Swervinator, which is derived from the Terminator. I pick up litter, but most of all, I collect data about litter, and with the data, I try to change things and systems and make it a cleaner world. And you can call me an activist if you like. Call me whatever you want, as long as.
Well, whatever the title is, yes. How did it start for the two of you?
For me, it started 10 years ago. I had a son and started walking behind a buggy. And then I saw a lot of litter and I started complaining. People asked me, why don't you pick it up yourself? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But at some point, I started doing that. Picking up litter is good, of course. But at some point, I thought I have to do more. And that's when I started to collect data. And with that, I could change things. So it started just behind the buggy of my son, when I started to see the world in a different way. That's how it started.
Yeah. For me, it started in a very different way. In 2015, I had some health issues, and I tried to buy my groceries for at least a year without additives in them, because I wanted to know exactly what I was putting inside my body. So I went through the supermarket and I tried to avoid all the additives, and I concluded everything that's prepackaged has additives in it. So instead I made a swap to go to the market and more to the vegetable garden of my father and started to cook more fresh foods. And without even knowing it, without even actively doing it, I produced the half of all the plastic waste and packaging that I normally had. And then I thought, wow, but if I pay a little bit of attention, maybe I can reduce all the rest of the waste and packaging as well. And then it became a bit of an adventure to see how I could avoid all the other waste as well. And within 8 months, I lived a zero waste lifestyle. Yeah. Amazing. So that's how it started, by accident.
I have a lot of questions regarding both of that, but we have to start with a question we ask all of our guests. And that is, what is your most unsustainable guilty pleasure?
For me, that must be coffee. Coffee is nothing but sustainable, but I drink a lot of coffee. At least I don't add milk and sugar to it. And by adding oat milk, you don't make coffee sustainable. But that's my guilty pleasure. Yeah.
That's a common one, actually. No one said it yet, though.
Guilty pleasure. Well, I wouldn't say pleasure, but it's definitely unsustainable. I still own a car. I try to use it as little as possible. So today I also came here by public transport, but there are some occasions where I have to use it, sometimes for going to family, which lives in a place where I can't really reach by public transportation. So I would say unsustainable necessity, not really unsustainable guilty pleasure, but still unsustainable.
We're still bound to cars in many ways. But.
Yeah, I think a lot of our transportation is really built around the use of cars. Fortunately, in the Netherlands, also bikes. I think that's very unique in most of the world, but still, yeah. Sometimes necessary.
I did 7 years without a car. Before that, I had leased cars. I worked in IT. Uh-huh. But now my kids grow up. I need cars for some things. And because of the work I do, sometimes I go lectures at night somewhere in a little place on the other side of the Netherlands. And then I can't use public transport. But I prefer going by public transport. And it's very good in Netherlands, especially where I live, the best part of the Netherlands. I can go everywhere. So I got that same guilty necessity.
Yeah.
And I wanted to start by asking, how did the name the Swervinator originate?
Well, I was in my car. Then I still worked for an IT company. I had to pee, and I stopped at a McDonald's McDrive restaurant. But before that, on the radio, they were talking about Schwarzenegger and the Terminator. So I went to pee and I came back. I picked up a can of Heineken. I put it in the garbage bin. I picked up a piece of litter, which we call a zwerfie in the Netherlands. And then I said, hasta la vista, zwerfie. The next moment, I combined zwerfie with Terminator, and that's how the Terminator started. Swervinator started.
Yeah.
And I posted it on Twitter, and people liked it. And then the rest is history, as they say.
And is that how your community grew around the idea of the Swervinator and your
impact? No, it was before that. The story is, a guy, Henk, he lives in the south of the Netherlands. he picked up litter far before me, and one day he picked up a piece of litter and he made a selfie with it, and he combined the word zwerfafval, Dutch for litter, and selfie to zwerfie. And he posted it on Twitter, and other people who were picking litter copied that. So I say it was like a coming out of litter pickers. And because I saw that, I thought, well, there are people picking up litter, then I can do it too. And after that, there were more words and developments why more people started to pick up litter.
But what you really brought into the game is also data collection, yes, and analyzing.
Yes.
How did that happen?
How did that happen? I was picking up litter for about 2.5 years, and it was great. Came a newspaper on the television, and other people started picking up. Everybody was clapping, and I had a good time. But at some point, I thought, I saw, well, I'm picking the same kinds of litter up in the same environment over and over again. We have to do more. And I read some reports of the city, but also of the national government. They were not telling the same story that I saw as a litter picker. I wanted to show, for instance, that there is more litter than you see when you stand somewhere, because it may be hidden in the bushes or in the water or behind the car. And I started to make pictures, so then I have the location to show there's litter everywhere. And then I added some other data, like what kind of litter is it? Is the bottle or a can or a wrapper? Is it plastic or metal? What brand is it, etc. And with that, I could show the real problem, because the information they gave us were all by an organization, Nederland Schoon, and they were part of the waste and packaging industry. They had different interests. When I started, they said plastic will degrade within 5 years, stuff like that.
Wow.
The biggest problem are chewy gum and banana peels, and I wanted to show the problem is totally different. So that's how it started. And with the data, because I am a data scientist by profession, I could combine my activism and my data skills. So that's how it started.
And you had a similar thing of like taking your first job into environmentalism.
Yeah.
You are a psychologist by trade.
Yeah, exactly. I just noticed the same thing, that we both took our background and added it to the waste issue in a very different way. But I'm a psychologist, behavioral psychologist and social psychologist. So I know a thing or two about why people do what they do and why they don't do what they should do. And also how you can invite new behavior and how you can develop new habits, for instance. Or also why it is so uneasy to be the first one to do something new. As you said, like then I realized there were other litter pickers, so I could do it as well. So it can make you feel really uncomfortable to be the first one to stick out your neck and do something new. That's actually all psychology. And if you can use psychology to help people make the better choices, then I think we were making big steps. Yeah, so that's my fascination for people and psychology combined with waste and how I can make that better.
Yeah, what I found, you were a couple of months ago, you were on television, and the presenter said, well, changing is difficult. And she just said, no, change is easy. We change every day, we change all the time. And it was like an epiphany for me. This is a great line. That's when you use psychology, yeah. If we wouldn't change, we still would be living in caves.
Yes.
We would still have we wouldn't have no TV or a laptop or whatever. We're changing every day, so.
We are very adaptable.
You have to use it the right way.
We're very adaptable. That's why commercials work, because they target us and we change our behavior. So if you can use the same kind of marketing psychology to help people make better environmental choices, I think that's where we need to head right now. Yeah, so we can use that.
And you also have a similar story in your TED Talk. You were mentioning Facebook analytics and how you could use Facebook data to reach more people and see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, so I'm actually not a very data-driven person. And oftentimes I just do. I have no clue what I do or why, but just because I have a feeling that something might work. But it really helps. So what I just started doing was posting things on Facebook and now on LinkedIn as well. And just looking into the statistics, like how many times is this article read, how many times is it shared, and then I learned, okay, so these kind of messages work, and these kind of messages are not so popular.
Even do you recognize that this message works on LinkedIn, but not on Twitter, and the other way around? They are different worlds.
Yeah. So you really have to target your audience in the right tone of voice. You always have to use like an image, has something to see, not just text. It really matters a lot what you post where. And then I try to learn from the effects of what I was doing and try to improve
from
there.
I think that it's great. I do the same as, like, a lot of, some people try to advise me, you should do this,
Hello.
You should do that.
Yeah.
Like, you should not post something on Saturday night at 10 o'clock or a Monday morning. And then I think, I'm going to post on Saturday night at 10 o'clock because no one else is posting then.
Yes.
And it works. Yeah. You have to find your way, because when you're small, you should not do the same as the big ones.
And for me, the messages that get read the most are the ones that I write in an instant, because I have an emotion about something, or I'm upset, or I'm surprised by something, and I use that emotion to write a piece, and then people who read it, they can also sense, this is the right moment, I can sense why she's feeling that right now, and then they can relate to that as well. So I try not to wait. I also don't rewrite my stories. I just... It just comes out in one go.
I find impressive about both of your stories is something that often in environmentalist circles is talked about, is like personal impact and individual impact. And whenever people ask us and me about how can they best help as an individual, I often say, stop thinking of yourself as an individual.
Yes.
Start thinking in terms of community and networks. And that's something that you two were very successful in, starting from an individual impact and then expanding into a wider community and a wider network and a movement.
Yeah.
And can you talk about that a bit? Like, how did that happen?
I call what I do is forest camping. I just do things, and then people started running with me, and you can change it. You can use that. So that's So I never had a plan, but I'm gonna do this, and I think this is good. And then you learn,
mm-hmm.
and you try to change things or improve, but. Most important thing for me is to do the things that I think they're good and I like. And sometimes I have to focus on my main business.
Yeah.
But at some point you're going to do everything and then that doesn't work anymore. You have to stay put.
Yeah.
You had your focus, but you had it about it before.
I had a bit of a different thing. So I was already living the zero waste lifestyle for 3 years. And then I found myself on a beach which was completely covered in plastic. And then I thought, okay, so what I'm doing in my own personal life is just perfecting, trying to make more perfect what I'm already doing. But it makes no sense if nobody follows me. So I consciously made a decision at one point to try and increase my circle of influence. And I thought, so, okay, how am I going to do that? Which tools do I have? Which knowledge do I have? Which skills do I have? And then I started to... get people to follow me in that movement, and not just me as a person, but I kind of claimed the name Zero Waste Netherlands, which made it seem like it was already something bigger than just me on the laptop. So just giving the illusion that it was already a movement made it easier for people to come and join, and that was a conscious decision for me to do that.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
What I do also, from the beginning that I started to use the word Surfinator, it's also a third person communication. So
yeah.
Surfinator does this or says that. And it works great. It becomes like an alter ego, but you can also make fun with it. You can make him a hero. And you can and the other side, you can stay yourself. So that worked great for me. So it's like a...
Yeah.
Storytelling is very important.
Exactly.
Yeah,
with Swervenator I can tell stories better than as myself. Yeah.
I would love to talk more, but we don't have a lot of time.
Yes.
So I will just end with a question we always end our interviews with,
mm-hmm.
which is, what is your main takeaway for our listeners?
Ooh. I would say start, and also look at your own talents. What is fun for you to do? What are you good at? and use that to start a movement. And especially doing things together really works. So maybe organize a clothes swap or go out litter picking with a group, or so make it bigger than yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would like to add, you can change the world in many ways. And I go out picking litter, but you can use your own other talents to do that. For instance, a couple of weeks ago, no, 1 week ago, we had a prijsuitreiking.
Award show
For people who were using my data to make a dashboard in Power BI. So they used my data to make great graphics and great maps and stuff like that. So they didn't go out picking up litter. They had fun doing the things they really like, and they made great presentations that I can use to tell my story again. So there are many ways where you can make it a better world. And I always say, improve yourself, start with the world. So you can do it in many ways.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. We're out of time. I hope we see each other again, and I can't wait for your talks later today. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay updated on all new episodes, make sure to subscribe to Green Talks on your favorite podcasting platform, whether it's Spotify, Google Podcasts, Deezer, or more.
You can also find video versions of the podcast on YouTube. We are your hosts, Klitzia
and Fran.
Melania Ardelan is our editor, and the show is organized by Green Hub, the sustainability office of the University of Twente in Enschede, Netherlands. See you in the next episode of Green Talks.